Good morning.
Good morning.
Good to see you all this morning. Christmas is not over. We got two extra days this year since we transferred the Feast of Epiphany. So if you haven't taken your Christmas tree down yet, don't worry. We haven't taken our Christmas decorations down yet either. Here to tell you today that you are light and water. Now, everyone knows that you're water. I mean, we learned this in our first science classes. The majority of our body is made of water. But light? We're light too. You can take your pick on which version you like of Crosby, Stills, and Nash or Joni Mitchell to the tune of Woodstock, which says, "Well, I came upon a child of God. He was walking along the road. And I asked him, 'Tell me where you're going.' And this is what he told me. He said, 'I'm going down to Yasker's farm, gonna join in a rock and roll band. Got to get back to the land and set my soul free. We are stardust, we are golden, we are a billion-year-old carbon, and we've got to get ourselves back to the garden.'" Now, I don't know if Woodstock was the Garden of Eden, maybe it was. But the songwriters were right when they said that you are stardust, and you are golden, and you're a billion-year-old carbon, and that we've got to get somehow back to our beginnings, the beginnings of what we were made. Now, science now tells us that at the core of our beings as people, and at the core of everything which is upon this earth, it is made of star particles. That it is made from stars which explode. And so it does mean that scientifically we are made of light and stars. In the West, I think we spend a lot of time focusing on the fact that we're made of water. We learn this in science classes. It occurs to me that in both of our primary sacraments, Eucharist and baptism, water plays an important role. In baptism to cleanse us, and in Eucharist to help us make wine. Light is used too. We process weekly with the light of Christ, but it's not necessarily seen or viewed as sacrament. And we are made of both light and water. And perhaps, maybe, I don't know, in the West, we're a little bit deprived of our light. And maybe that's why Epiphany is so intriguing for us. Maybe that's why light and stars are so interesting to us. Maybe that's why, even though our lectionary for today assumes that we will use scriptures of baptism, that almost every Episcopal church I know and the Roman Catholic Church transfers the Feast of Epiphany or light to today. You know the story, everyone knows the story about how the Magi, the astrologers, the kings, whatever you would like to call them, follow the great light to meet the Creator. And that today our word epiphany comes from the word ippi, or to, and phanon, or to show forth or shine upon. We remember the great light, the star that guided the astrologers, the magi, to the Christ child, to see the birth and incarnation of God. It's perhaps the only day in our Christian calendar when we give homage to following our roots of light, of star particles, of the day that we remember that on the first of creation, the first day, when the earth was formless and void and empty and darkness covered the deep, the Spirit of God hovered over the water and said, "Let there be light." Now, our postcard for this week also gave homage to light. If you're on our mailing list, and if you're not on our mailing list, pick out the card in front of you and put on it too, because this is what you would have received this week. You would have received the picture of the young child Genevieve, whose face was shining brightly as she was dressed up in the star for our Christmas Eve pageant, with a message of light and love and peace. We're obsessed with light. In the Eastern Church this day, they celebrate with light and water. Remembering that our roots are both light and water, that water was there in the beginning when light was created, the Eastern Church celebrates Epiphany as a series of events, which include many things, such as the birth of Christ, the baptism, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit through the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit of the Trinity. They celebrate the visit of the Magi, the baptism, the visitation of the Trinity, all as one event. They celebrate through water and voice and stars and light and Christ. It just makes me wonder what it is about our Western tradition that makes us want to translate and transfer a celebration of light on top of the celebration of Christ's baptism, which is one of the most important events of our life. And it makes me wonder if we are just a little bit light deprived. Maybe we are. Maybe it's because we just celebrated winter solstice, the shortest day of the year. Or maybe it's because our country feels divided, or because of the ways in which we dualistically look at the word of God and the world around us as perhaps two different things. In black and white terms, as if God is over here and we are over there, or if God is up there and we are down here. Instead of remembering that God's light and water are intrinsic parts of our creation. Perhaps we are a little bit light deprived. Maybe you find yourself a little bit beat down or in the darkness because of health or family or job situations. Maybe that's why we're fascinated with the Magi, who did in fact find light. Today we celebrate the fact that God's joyous light came to be upon us, and that it came from the beginning of time, and that it came to be with all of us, and that it was all with all of us. I find it interesting that the light of God came to the Magi, the Gentile, the people who were not Jewish or Hebrew or Israelites, or possibly even religious practitioners. The light of God found them, and they followed that star and were transformed by the presence of Christ when they got there. The light of God is within us all and comes to us all. It's not like we as Christians or Kentuckians or white people or Episcopalians or those who are happy all the time have some sort of sacred duty in just carrying the light. For the light came for all. Sinners and saints and whites and blacks and people of all color and religious and non-religious. We just sang the wonderful psalm about a wish for God to come to all, for all of the earth to worship and adore God. That God's will is for us all to be united. That God's will is for all nations to be under a reign of peace and light for all people. Paul reminds us in this lesson for today, to the Gentiles, for he sees them finally as fellow heirs and sharers in the promises of God. The Magi remind us that the light of God comes to us all of us. One of the great gifts for me this Epiphany has been realizing that the light of God comes to all of us. It's been great to celebrate the Feast of the Epiphany next door at the Anugrah House with our guest from several religious traditions and from us here at St. Patrick's, where we've spent the weekend exploring the fact that light does come to us all in so many different forms. Now, although we receive the light of God in tremendous different forms, many of you in this room physically received light upon your baptism. You know, if you've seen a baptism in this place, that when we return someone from the primal waters of baptism to remind them that they have been accepted into the life of God through the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, that they also receive light. Now, this line isn't in our prayer book, but you might recognize that when we bring somebody up out of the water, the next thing that the priest does is dip their finger in holy chrism and anoint the person and say, "You are sealed by the Holy Spirit and marked as Christ's own forever." And then the next act, which is not in our prayer book at all, involves the priest taking a small candle and lighting it from the Paschal candle, the Christ candle, and giving it to the person and saying, "Receive the light of Christ." As Christians, we physically carry that light with us wherever we go, which means that no matter how we see, we're not light deprived. We received it, and we continue to receive it through the many ways that God speaks to us. We remember today that in the beginning, when God created the heavens and earth, the earth was a formless void, and darkness covered the face of the deep. And the wind, the spirit, the breath of God swept over the face of the waters, and God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. And God saw that the light was good and separated light from darkness. And we remember that when Jesus came, when God's earth was in a mess of political turmoil and darkness and smugness of crazy leaders and all sorts of other leaders with bad intentions, that the light of God covered the face of the earth, that God sent the light of a star to guide the Magi into the hope and light and love of God. We remember today that Jesus' baptism in the Gospel of Matthew, that when the heavens opened and lightning descended upon Jesus, the light and love of God came to the world. We remember that at our birth, when we received the gift of star particles within our very being, that the light and love of God came to be within us. We remember at our baptism that when we returned to those primal waters, that the light and love of God came to be with us. We are the light and love of God shining within us. We are made of light and stars and stardust. We are golden. We're a billion old carbon. So let's take ourselves back to the garden to find the stuff that we are made of. Light and water and divineness. Isaiah says to us today, "Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For darkness shall cover the earth, and darkness cover the people, but the Lord will arise upon you, and his glory will appear over you." Rise, shine, for your light has come. Carry the light, be bearers of the light, within and around you. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine, let it shine, let it shine, let it shine.